Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another day, another week here at the Dan Report with me, John Arola, and the host of the Bituation Room, as well as a bunch of other awesome stuff. Some of it perhaps coming live to a city near you. Francesca Fiorentini joins us now. How's it going, Francesca?
John Arola. Well, it's John Arola, and he's here to stay. I'm sorry, I'm in a mood.
Francesca, if you've gone to New York to make your fortune as a crooner,
I don't think that song
should be your debut hit, because I don't think it has much crossover appeal. But how are you doing?
I'm fine. Clearly, everything's fine. Doing really good. Excited to be here. Excited to be in Brooklyn.
Why are you there? I don't get it. Why are you?
Well, thank you for asking. I'm doing a live episode of the Bituation Room on Thursday at the Bell House in Brooklyn with Sam Cedar and Councilmember Tiffany Caban and Matt Lieb. And super excited. I hope everyone gets tickets. Bituationroom.com. They're still available. Come through, say hi, represent. I think I'm gonna ask folks to put the link in the bottom. But yeah, bituationroom.com, it'll be good. And also I'm doing some stand up. So if anyone wants to come through and watch me do my Greta impressions on stage, come.
That's good. And you are gonna wanna hear that, because I don't think it's gonna happen on the show today. It's one of the few things that won't. But over the course of the next 90 minutes or so, we do have a lot of critical news to get to, both internationally and domestically. So we are going to be talking about what's going on in Ukraine. In fact, the big news of the morning is Putin's demands apparently have now been made clear. So we're gonna break those down, as well as some other developments, give our impressions perhaps on whether we think they will or perhaps should accept these demands. We're also gonna be talking about the trucker convoy, because it's hit DC and it might soon be hitting a city to disrupt traffic near you. Beyond that, Trump wants to start a war between China and Russia. Isn't that fun? The Supreme Court siding with the CIA. I have a feeling Francesca's gonna have a few thoughts about that one. And we're doing a bit of a roundup of Karen's going to war with workers, because honestly, for too long, the working class, particularly those working in fast food and the service industry, have just had it too easy. And so now Karens are injecting themselves into their shifts. Won't that be fun? Also, lawsuits against the machine. So there's a lot to talk about today. If you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great, so that people know we're live, since notifications apparently just don't work anymore. But also, I did wanna let you know, the TDR pre-show is back a little bit earlier. So at about 8:40, 8:45 Pacific, that's 11:40, 11:45 Eastern. We go live, we hang out, we chit chat about other news that's fun and exciting and consequential. So hope to see you there in the future as well. We just put one up on the channel right now if you'd like to check out the vibe. With all that said, Francesca, are you ready to do this thing?
Yeah, but what does your shirt say?
My shirt says, I think it's keep calm and wash your hands. Don't forget to wash your hands.
Nice. I thought it was in wash your ass, but hands is good too. Both are important.
It's the sort of advice that you hope people accept and you don't want to have to give.
Sure.
In any event, this is one of our throwback early pandemic shirts. We crossed 6 million worldwide COVID deaths. So this is in honor of that, I suppose. Anyway, let's do it. Let's jump into this video.
Police officer for the Tacoma Police Department. This message is to the police in DC and other cities that have spineless and tyrannical leaders such as mine. Stop allowing the left and the media to use our profession for political gain. The Freedom Convoy is coming, and you will be tested. If you violate people's constitutional rights due to the orders of some liberal tyrant, conservatives will turn on you, and they absolutely should for you doing so. Let us not forget that conservatives support law enforcement, as they realize it is essential to upholding our rights and freedoms as Americans. Please do not repeat what happened in Canada, as it only fuels the liberal narrative, divides our country, and goes against everything America is about. If you are going to stay in the profession, do it honorably. Remember, your oath is ultimately to uphold and support liberty, which is the absolute foundation this country is built upon. Police each other. And now for the fun part. X-ray 144 Tacoma. I'll be signing off for the last time. Just want to say cheers, boys, and let's go, Brandon.
As John Oliver would say, Cool. Okay, so the convoys are here. In the US, they waited a couple days, you know, because of the invasion of Ukraine. That was nice of them. But no, they're here. They've hit DC. And what you just saw there was a former police officer, Robert Hollingsworth. He's apparently already resigned, telling cops, do not listen to any politicians when they, you know, ask you to do something radical like enforcing the law or something about these truckers. And I don't know, Francesca, this thing to me reeks of Dave Rubin's Don't Burn This Book, where it's like, you're saying you don't want something, but I suspect you want it for PR purposes. No, they are desperately hoping that there will be some sort of massive out of step overreaction to what we're going to get to is apparently a pretty shway trucker convoy that's hit.
Shway. So, I gotta look that up.
That's what Jenk always says, where it's like, it's not that impressive, honestly. But anyway, the cop is saying, stand with liberty, don't stand with the tyrants, don't murder all the truckers, which I agree with. But what do you think?
But I mean, this goes back to the entire the rationale why more the violence we've seen against peaceful demonstrators during BLM was not then equally applied to some of the truckers or so-called truckers or trucker adjacent or wannabe trucker or just you know, cultist QAnon conspiracy theorists who were there. Because law enforcement knows better than anyone, because a lot of them are in their ranks. Hello, we just saw it. They know that as soon as violence is used, these guys are actually like packing heat. They actually are armed, and they can't wait to use any excuse to start some sort of massive shootout that could kick off, you know, the next civil war or whatever the hell they think they're doing. So, like, it is just really interesting that you see, you know, the left is constantly being told. In fact, this guy is straight up saying the left wants to do this, the radical. But who's actually waiting for that incitement of violence? Who's like just chomping at the bit to go? It's always far right wingers.
I mean, you're on the left. Like, do you not want a massive brawl in the streets of DC?
I mean, I gotta get big before I need some time. Give me time, John.
To and put yes. in the work, get yes. the reps. Yes. No, I'm on the left. I don't want it. Does that count for anything? No, this is just also, look, they watched what was going on in Canada here, the right wing in the US, and they thought, oh my God, this is like the ultimate victim narrative. It's sort of vague. We have this symbol, the trucker, that we can pretend to support. You know, we used to pretend that we supported like coal workers, and then they went on protests and we didn't care. And we used to pretend that we supported cops, and then we'd try to kill a bunch of them. Oh, what about truckers? We can pretend that we support them. But none of it makes any sense, as we'll get to. Let's give a little bit of the facts on the ground, and then we'll give more of our thoughts about this thing, including more deranged video, by the way. Even more deranged than the Let's Go Brandon cop. By the way, really fast, the fact that he's like, I ask you in our final moment to stand with liberty against tyranny. These are the times where men will reveal their true metal.
Yeah.
Let's go, Brandon. Burr, burr, burr. Your little joke. Like,
you're not flying into like a spaceship on Independence Day, dude. Calm down.
Yes. Hey, boys, let's go, Brandon. That would have been a good movie. I would watch that. But anyway, so the convoy is coming. There's dozens of trucks, along with minivans, motorcycles, pickup trucks, and hatchbacks. Shout out to my hatchback siblings. But anyway, they aim to complete two loops on Interstate 495, a 64-mile highway known as the Capitol Beltway, before returning to a staging area. So they did this two times. They eventually got spread out. Everybody is saying that it's generally a pretty congested freeway anyway, so I'm not sure that anyone noticed. But anyway, they said they didn't want people to drive into the Capitol on Sunday, out of fears that some participants could turn it into a chaotic event reminiscent of January 6th. Okay, first of all, I like a little bit of self-analysis and ability to recognize who you are, what your movement is.
Yes.
Wise choice to not send them in, because some definitely would want something like that, whether it would happen or not. But anyway, it is basically dozens of trucks involved in a convoy. Now there are other convoys that could eventually link up in DC or could spread off to other cities. It might be a kind of disparate sort of movement. They might all coalesce in one thing. But in any event, as of right now, it doesn't look like it's gonna generate the kind of crazy situation that we saw in Canada. And I think they will see that as a massive disappointment.
Yeah, oh, here's an idea of maybe why. Because there are no more COVID restrictions. Because good even point. Brandon is like, we all have to go back to work and that's the way mm-hmm. it's going to be. And are we putting in all these protections and protocols for if and when there is a new variant? Nah. So are we dropping mask mandates even in blue states, in schools, even with children, even with long COVID? Yes. So what the hell are you actually protesting? Because again, it's this phantom oppression. You know, the mask, the vax card, I don't have anything anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, look, and that effectively is what the Tea Party was. Ostensibly, it started as some sort of opposition to the debt or something, which we know actually gets regular Americans fired up by the millions. And then just generally became a, I don't like Obama, I don't like the Dems, which by the way, you are totally allowed to have a protest movement that either doesn't agree internally about what it's about or isn't really sure generally what it's about. You can be generally opposed to something and it isn't only the right that does that.
I've been involved in many of those, trust.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, why are we here? I don't know, we're angry. It's bad.
We're angry. Yes, I would just say, question a little bit why you're mad. If the only reasons you can give are nonsensical, they talk about COVID restrictions that definitely don't exist now and arguably only existed for like 72 hours in March 2020, then you can still be mad, but question why? Question whose interest is it serving that you're really mad? Is it really yours at the end of the day, or is it people who sent you out? Right-wing media hosts that don't want to sit in a truck in DC in the winter for a bunch of days, but would very much like you to, because that makes it seem as if, man, Biden and the Dems are really doing something wrong if there's so much popular opposition to it. Just consider that for a little bit.
Can we just mention though that, you know, this is a Tacoma police officer, reminds me of another Washington State, I believe, sheriff or police officer who had a similar sign off, sort of filming himself in his car, making a big stand because of vaccination requirements. And then he left his position, made the right wing TV rounds. Then he got COVID and I believe died. So that's how that story ended.
Yeah.
Passed away. We actually covered it when you were on my show, The Bituation Room. Yeah, he died. So I wouldn't be surprised if this guy, once again, this is how you use people. He will make the rounds on right wing media. He'll talk about, he'll inflate the convoy. It wasn't just traffic. It was like slower traffic, you know, and then who knows? He'll get COVID. He's probably unvaccinated and he could still die because once again, you can still die from COVID.
Look, I think let's spice things up with a little bit more of a view into at least one individual supporting this. Let's take a look at this video.
We're not livestock, we're not cattle. You know, we can't be treated as such, we're free. And purging, you know, law enforcement and purging the military, that's just the writing on the wall, what they're setting up there. They're setting up to set up we the people against our own institutions. They don't want to have patriots in those institutions that will resist them. So we've got to hold the line and they've got to allow freedom for anybody that wants it, everybody that wants it. Because until we're not free from this. And that includes our kids in uniform. You've got to back off and drop the mandates because we're not going to live like it. And so unless you're ready to, I guess, kill us all, you better change your minds because we're not going to live as slaves.
Okay, so the Freedom Convoy has their celebrity side. That is former Silver Spoons actor Ricky Schroeder saying that they want liberty and freedom. They don't want the mandates, which again, for like 99.9% of Americans, do not exist, never existed. We're not even what Biden was proposing, but whatever. We lost a rhetorical battle. We cannot get people to accept simple facts. He is worried about those in the military potentially having to be vaccinated. To be fair, one additional vaccine in addition to the many other vaccines they are and have been for decades obligated to get. That's not new at all. Hopefully this info isn't new to you. And he says, if you do not stop with these restrictions that don't exist, you will have to kill us all. But again, this is about how you twist people into pretzels mentally. We're trying to stop you from dying. That's the whole point. To the extent that anyone is doing anything, it's to save your life and the lives of others. There's no threat of violence. There's no threat of death. The only threat of death is the ongoing threat of death from COVID, which I'll just briefly remind you. I know that we're all done with this, I guess. Nobody cares about this anymore. But we're still at over 1,500 deaths a day, even now. The cases have gone down massively. The deaths should start going down soon as well. Just a little reminder, we're still in the territory of deaths per day that used to be terrifying for people. But whatever, we've moved on. That's the threat of death. Nobody wants to kill Ricky Schroeder. Nobody wants to kill Robert Hollingsworth. Nobody wants to kill the truckers. I'm a lefty. I don't like it when people die. Francesca, what do you think?
I just think that Ben Shapiro and, you know, the Daily Caller's new their new sort of like a Hollywood venture, they need to employ actual like right wing actors. You know, they need to put their money where their mouth is. Give Ricky Schroeder a part. You need a bit part in his like, you know, like he can just act out the tyranny. You know, again, like this is it is make believe in his head. It's no wonder he's an actor. They are mixing every kind of metaphor possible. Like it was like, was it the Constitution he was quoting or like, was it a movie? You know, like was it, we're all for one and one for all. Was that the Three Musketeers or like the Second Amendment? I don't know. Like, so he, you know.
Why not both?
Exactly. And you know, you got so many of these people and you're just like, oh, I like, bless your stupid little heart for thinking that you are somehow oppressed because we're trying to save lives. I don't know. I just keep coming back to Fox. I mean, like you said, if there are lessons from this pandemic, number one, we need universal healthcare. We need, you know, yes, it is weird that we get the vaccine for free, but insulin costs whatever it is, $40 a vial. That's number one. Number two, government important. Libertarians, sit your asses down. But number three, Fox News has got to go. There has to be some amount of accountability, some amount of media and propaganda accountability. And we can't leave it to self-regulating entities like Meta or Facebook or Twitter or whomever to be like, well, now we've got checks. No, you've made enough money off of propaganda. We need actual government regulation when it comes to discerning, even if it's a label, even if it's a Surgeon's General label warning before Tucker Carlson's show, this program might kill you.
It's more likely than something, certainly. But I do disagree with one thing from their point of view, there is never enough money. And oh my God, the metaverse is going to be a big purveyor of misinformation and they're gonna monetize the hell out of it. But anyway, look, to Ricky Schroeder, to the Freedom Convoy, like why can't you guys be happy that you won? And I don't even mean like that you won right now, that there's no mandates. We lost over 900,000 people. That is proof, indisputable proof that you guys won because we're not just failing now, we failed from the very beginning. We're gonna race past a million deaths. We advocated for life. We lost as a society. We were overruled. You guys should be happy right now. You should be celebrating. Why are you so depressed? You're gonna get your million deaths. Mm-hmm. But anyway, along the way, they're also gonna burn a lot of fuel because the thing about this protest, while it's disorganized, it's far smaller than they expected. They don't entirely seem to understand what they're protesting. Aside from the things they're protesting that don't actually exist, it is gonna cause them to use a lot of fuel. And that has led to a little bit of ridicule that the price of diesel obviously high. By the way, they don't like that either, but they're certainly not showing it with their behavior. So since semi trucks are so heavy, they obviously aren't fuel efficient. On average, semi-trucks get 6.5 miles per gallon, which might still be better than those new postal trucks that they're buying. But anyway, 3 miles per gallon going uphill to 23 going downhill. Hopefully the whole route's downhill. That's what my fingers are crossed for. Anyway, because of the local price of diesel, a loop around the Beltway, which they're doing, and back to Hagerstown, where they're sort of like posting up for this, will cost about $120 for each truck. If there are 100 trucks, which at this point it doesn't seem like there will be, but there could be, that's $12,000 for each trip. But they're planning on doing multiple loops, increasing each day. Even if it's just 20 trucks, this could easily cost thousands and thousands of dollars. They're gonna be stopping occasionally to do news hits about how the rise in the price of fuel is unacceptable as they burn massive quantities of it. There's gotta be a better way.
Well, that's why I'm excited for the Ford truck. Is it Ford that's got the, you know, the big eco Lightning truck? Like, exactly.
But yeah, they've got one. Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for that because look, you can protest so-called mandates and whatever, you know, boogeyman is in your head. Let's do it with green energy. Let's do it with electric vehicles. Let's do it solar powered and wind powered and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I'm all for that. If we can get them on that, like, you know, F Russia, you know, F Saudi Arabia, let's be energy independent. You know, like we need that. So yeah. I feel like perhaps we need to get a giant, you know, a semi or, you know, one of these giant trucks and have it all be solar powered and then just kind of own them. Yeah.
There's so much room on the trucks to put solar panels, but no, that's the thing that it's one of those things. Like if you engage in politics, dear viewer, there's lots of points that indisputably make 100% sense. They cannot be denied, and yet they will be. Like, they talk about energy independence, but they don't mean under any circumstances. They only mean us producing our own fossil fuels here. Anything else that makes us energy independent, but that doesn't consume a lot of fuel, they are not interested in that. So when they tell you they want to be energy independent, that is a dodge. That is not the most important part. Mm-hmm. In any event, we're going to be watching this protest, which, by the way, we support the right of them to protest. I know that you want us to hate you and persecute you. I don't. I might mock a little bit because there's some flaws in logic there. And I think you should work a little bit on what exactly you're protesting that exists. But that said, I don't want any violence against you. And I think you are freely, you're free to do what you're doing. I just wish you would produce a little bit of less emissions along the way. Brickhouse Mama 98 says, a warning to the truckers, be careful not to get any violations on your MVR or you could lose your insurance coverage and thereby put you out of work. That's a good warning. And I don't want them to be out of work. Like we actually support you. Organize for wages, better conditions, all that. We're gonna be right there with you because it's a thing that makes sense. In any event, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we're gonna be taking a look at the current state of Ukraine, the Russian invasion. A deal is now apparently on the table. Francesca and I are gonna react to that and tell you what we think after this.
Забирай свои войска и убирайся с Украины. Мы хотим мира.
Мы хотим мира.
У червні місяці почалася війна. Моїх усіх по маминій лінії євреї забрали євреїв у Бабий Яр. І всі загинули там. Сьогодні я зустрічаю також у Києві, але вже в цьому році. Це страхіття страшне. Путін, щоб ти був здох. Покинь нас, покинь, сволоч нас, щоб ми тебе не бачили і не чули, хто ти, що ти.
That is obviously devastating. In case it wasn't clear, and especially for a podcast audience, those were Ukrainian Holocaust survivors who had come together to put out a statement calling for peace and also mocking Putin a little bit, telling him, I hope you die, stay out of Ukraine and all that. But they've seen this before. They do not want to see people dying around them. And right now, the devastation of the civilians of Ukraine is accelerating. More and more shelling, indiscriminate missile strikes, which not only has increased the death toll of civilians quite a bit, the numbers are out there. It is difficult to imagine that they're accurate at this point, but also 202 schools, 34 hospitals, more than 1,500 residential buildings, have been destroyed in like 9 days of open warfare. More than 1,000 towns and villages are completely deprived of light, water, and heat. And so the stakes obviously are very high here. Now, the breaking news of the morning is that apparently demands have been given from the Russian delegation to the Ukrainians. They are set today to begin the third round of talks. So in about a minute, we're going to get into what the actual demands are and what we think about them. But Francesca, I wanted to give you a chance to respond. That video is devastating. You can hear in the woman's voice how much pain she's in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is the thing with war, especially you're thinking about who can't get out, who has more difficulty. And absolutely, the elderly, the disabled, you know, and in every kind of tragedy, that is who is most affected. And the fact that Holocaust survivors, and it's not just in this situation, but time and again, are still alive to be shaking their finger at us and at the world and say, look at the path that we're going down, is, I mean, it's a failure on our world leaders' part. For sure. And of course, Putin, I mean, even with the BS denazification crap that he was spouting early on in this war, but it's awful. And now, you know, we're talking about straight up going after journalists, families who have been trying to flee that are being just gunned down. These are not enemy combatants. These are not soldiers. They are people fleeing. And we've seen the images. And again, yeah, the numbers are not super stable, but it doesn't even matter if it's 3 or if it's 300. It is unnecessary and senseless.
Yeah. By the way, suffering on the Russian side as well. 4,500 protesters have already been arrested. And that's the number that they're admitting to. So, you know, God only knows. And again, we've shown the footage of the protests. Thank you. Like, if this message actually gets through to them, thank you to anyone who is risking imprisonment and worse to speak up against this. It's regular Russians. Their celebrities are risking potentially everything to stand against this. Apparently, it's become a big thing on social media for the kids of oligarchs to try to rally people against the war. So again, a lot on the line in terms of that. So thank you to everyone doing that. But now we turn to where this thing might go. So we've been wondering now for over a week, is diplomacy going to work? When is an actual set of demands going to be put forward so that we can try to figure out if Ukraine will take them or if the war is likely to continue? Well, we've got those demands now. So the breaking news of the morning, Moscow is demanding that Ukraine cease military action, which again, in the midst of an invasion that you did is, as I believe Aaron Ryan said, it's the stop hitting yourself of international diplomacy. But whatever, that's what they're calling for. Change its constitution to enshrine neutrality. So to be clear, what that means is rejecting any aims to enter any bloc, particularly, of course, NATO. Acknowledge Crimea as Russian territory and recognize the separatist republics of Donetsk and Lugansk as independent states. There's no immediate reaction from the Ukrainian side. But those are the demands that have now been put forward, Francesca. What do you make of them? They pretty much line up with what you expected.
I mean, to be honest, they're a little bit less extreme than some of the regime change language that Putin was going off about even just a few days ago. So who knows? I mean, I don't even know if I can trust those who are acting on behalf of Putin. His closest advisors seem to not understand what he actually wants. And of course, everything is coming from him on down. So if that is it, which it's, let's get to the fact that it's way too much. Interesting, don't really believe that that's it. Still kind of believe after 3 assassination attempts, they're gonna try and depose and get rid of and topple Zelensky. I think that's what they ultimately want. But also Zelensky had a really interesting point early on. You know, he's talking about Donetsk and Luhansk, or I'm pronouncing them both wrong. But like, he was like, I grew up there. Like I know my friend, he's like calling them my name. He goes there, his family's there, this and that. And talking about, you know, this is not just giving up a piece of your territory, like, nah, whatever, it's fine, it's pretty much Russia. No, this is Ukrainian land. These are Ukrainians. Now look, if there at some point is a referendum, right, where it's a democratic decision where the people of those provinces and regions decide that they want to be independent, that's a different question. I'm not saying I know their, what's in their heart, but it is, you can't just claim a territory because there are a lot of Russians there. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah, and by the way, just briefly, I'm glad that you touched on that. So the fact that these territories should be naturally absorbed into Russia because there are cultural, you know, connections or whatever, the argument that Putin was right to go in to denazify Ukraine. It is not that there is nothing to any of this. The idea that there are some Nazis or neo-Nazi groups, that obviously misinformation demands some element. But we fight misinformation from the right constantly. We will also do it from people who might ostensibly masquerade as on the left. I want you to take every one of these arguments and consider whether you would accept it if the US government was making it to justify an invasion that they were doing. And if you wouldn't, and I don't think you would, you should not accept it from Russia either. Oppose imperial invasions, even if some people that you kind of like and agree with are trying to make the case that it makes sense. In any event, most of these seem in line with what I would expect. Absorbing more territory, finally erasing as even a potential topic of debate the status of Crimea seems pretty much expected. Them not getting into NATO, ceasing the military action. I am wondering if, what are the bounds of that? Is that ceasing the ongoing military action, or is that no ongoing relationship with NATO countries, the US, to strengthen their military after this invasion? And by the way, while there is currently no explicit provision for regime change in the demands that are being largely talked about today, in the lead up to it, and maybe this is what you were referring to, Francesca, there had been whispers that they are going to allow Zelensky to technically stay on as president, but that Yuri Boyko would be made the PM. Now, obviously, you and I, Ukrainian politics experts, were well familiar with Boyko. But anyway, no, he is considered to be, in terms of nationally known politicians, one who often talks about having closer ties to Russia. So that isn't currently on the table, but if it is, that's sort of what we've been expecting, that effectively government power would be shifted over to someone who wants to gradually increase the ties with Russia. And when you combine that with all the rest of this, this might be an appealing deal to a country that is being decimated daily, but it's a rough one too. I think there's some particularly bitter pills to swallow in that.
Yeah, I guess just 2 points. Look, Ukraine wasn't gonna join NATO. NATO knew that, Ukraine knew that, and Russia knew that. And they decided to invade anyway. So the whole idea of NATO, Ukraine not joining NATO, you've only made the argument and the case for Ukraine joining NATO by attacking Ukraine, right? So that doesn't make any sense. Again, I don't believe that Putin is an honest actor in any of this. Okay. Secondly, let's say they make this deal to stop the violence right now. There is absolutely, and I'm sure Ukrainians understand this better than anyone, there is no guarantee that this is all that Putin wants. There is no guarantee that in 2 more years or 3 more years or 5 more years, when the country's starting to rebuild, that they will not attack and go for more and more and more. The people of Ukraine have voted out the pro-Kremlin leaders that they've had. They've risen up in popular uprisings against those leaders. Zelensky is a product of the idea. And I think Zelensky is doing a pretty good job of walking a line between, you know, extolling NATO and the EU, and also being sensitive and understanding that there are people who do identify culturally maybe with Russia. And again, I don't know all kinds of the histories, but like the people of Ukraine aren't like, they weren't necessarily rushing to join the EU or NATO, right? But Putin has tipped the scales against in that direction. At this point, I'd be like, hell yeah, I want to join the EU, you know? So again, I wouldn't take any of this on seriously, but hell, whatever you need to do to stop the bullets from flying. That being said, as I think we're going to talk about, at what point has Russia ever stopped the bullets for people to even evacuate? Every single ceasefire for emergency evacuation has been blown past.
Exactly. So let's move into that. We have a couple more updates I want to make sure that you know about. One is that the humanitarian corridors have apparently not been respected remotely at this point. Ceasefires, the areas that are supposed to be free from violence have not been. Zelensky has rightly denounced it as completely immoral to be targeting people in these areas. In any event, Russia then announced they would be setting up additional ones specifically that would allow people to flee only to Russia and Belarus. So doesn't seem like the most serious offer right there. But the US has apparently, the US and NATO have in 1 week given 17,000 anti-tank weapons to Ukraine. So that is obviously a massive help in fighting against the invasion. Also, look at what the US is capable of doing when it wants to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big effort in a week. Zelensky is of course asking for it. By the way, Washington is helping with intelligence as well, putting together really fast updates of Russian military troop movements. You have to wonder at some point really what the distinction is between some of what's being done and moves that we know would trigger a war with Russia. Like if you give them all of this stuff, it seems like a bit of a philosophical distinction between that and you aiming it and pulling the trigger yourself at a certain point. But apparently this is the way these things are run. So there's other potential deals to transfer MiG-29s out of Poland to Ukraine in exchange for us giving F-16s to Poland that are currently supposed to be given to Taiwan. Poland says no at this point, partially because they're worried about being targeted by Russia as a result of it. So there's a lot ongoing. Very briefly, Francesca, what do you make of these other updates?
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's, the amount of money that we're throwing at this is insane. And that being said, I am glad that we are trying to exercise a certain amount of restraint. I said this the other night, but look, the difference between whether this attack happened under Bush, under a Republican, let's say it was Bush, or let's say it was Trump, is night and day. If it was Bush, we'd already be in World War III. If it was Trump, there would be no sanctions and Ukrainians would be completely left alone. We wouldn't sell them any weapons. We'd sell them like a few things. We'd be like, I don't know. And then we'd put it on other NATO countries to give them weapons. And we would essentially help Russia in their efforts to topple the regime. So that's the only thing I can compare it to. And we shall see, but it's incredibly volatile and scary.
I agree. And we will be watching it. That said, you predicted that Trump would not be helpful in this effort. We've got some evidence, some receipts in that area. So stick around after this. There is just too much going on. We're going to decode the Z. That might have to wait till tomorrow. But we do have big stuff to talk about. So let's jump into this. Donald Trump recently gave a big speech to 250 of the Republican Party's top donors. It was at the Elite Four Seasons, the actual one this time. It went on for 84 minutes. And according to the people that were there, the first 50 or so were tolerable. And then it started to drone on. But in there, Donald Trump had some insane things to say. And it is a reminder of why it matters that he lost in 2020. So specifically, he apparently heard Sean Hannity's idea last week for us to us or NATO to bomb the Russian tank convoy moving towards the Ukrainian capital and then just claim it wasn't us. And he decided to one up Sean Hannity on labeling US military planes with Chinese flags and bombing Russia itself. He said, and then we say China did it. We didn't do it. China did it. And then they start fighting with each other and we sit back and watch. Now he was joking, because we know there's a massive distinction between Donald Trump when he's joking or not. He doesn't just figure out afterwards whether it was a joke or not. And his audience doesn't take things seriously when he's just joking. But they really do love this idea that, man, if only we could start attacking people and imply it was someone else, start a conflict between two nuclear armed world powers. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing for the earth, Francesca?
It'll be just like January 6th when I watched with a nice cold Diet Coke and some popcorn as my followers storm the Capitol. They're scaling walls. They're so strong. Ooh, it's just, I mean, yeah, it is actually, again, now that he's out of office, he's funny as hell because he's so dumb. And this idea is so dumb and is also because of that kind of funny, but he's a former effing president who wants to be president again. And it is incredibly, no, I don't agree. I do not agree, but it's just, it's what a slap in the face. What a thing to say at a time when Ukrainians are being gunned down in the street, how non-serious you are that you could even float that as a joke, right? Yeah. John Hannity was actually being very serious. But like, that's what you're saying right now? That's
exactly.
I mean, he would say the same thing if he were in office, but he wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, I guess that would be his joke or whatever. And I've always found that the first 2 weeks of a war is the best time for humor about it. It's like too late. You don't want to wait too long. So that's fun. What would he actually be saying? What would he actually be doing? What, like, his State of the Union would have happened the first week of the invasion.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what he would have said? What he would have encouraged Russia?
That's what happens when NATO doesn't give us more money. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he went into NATO. We're going to get to NATO in one sec. By the way, he also threw out some amazing statements that apparently were not jokes. He said the military under his watch had gotten in, quote, skirmishes with Russian troops and won, but he didn't say more. I feel like that demands follow-up questions from the audience. Maybe one of the 250 could have yelled out, what? We fought the Russians, apparently? He's just moving on. He goes on to say, I knew Putin very well. He would not have done it. He would never have done it if Trump were still president. Again, maybe you can't, but maybe you could make your jokes if you were also giving us an actual idea of what you'd like to be done. Because it's not like they're not attacking Biden's response or NATO's response. They're doing that 90% of the time and then 10% mocking the situation, whether it's him joking about starting a China-Russia war, Laura Ingraham mocking Zelensky's appeal to the world for peace. This is seriously what they're doing. So when it's that disgusting offensive stuff and there is no positive plan, there's no idea of what they would do. They pretend they don't want to take us to war, but they keep hinting that something more than sanctions are necessary. They don't want there to be sanctions, even though Laura Ingraham will then move on and say we should sanction China. So it's just, it's sort of disgusting is what it is.
Yeah. No. 100%.
Anyway, he called NATO a paper tiger. At what point do countries say, no, we can't take this massive crime against humanity. We can't let it happen. We can't let it continue to happen. Well, they are trying to stop it. So you're implying there is something else you would like to be done. When will these alpha males ever say what it is that they mean? Why do they constantly hide behind ambiguity? It's pathetic. There was a bunch of other, he's like happy to compliment Kim Jong-un. He also, by the way, I just want people to remember the election that we're about to face in 2024. He said, the vote counter is often more important than the candidate. We have to get a lot tougher and smarter at the polls. So their campaign going forward is not about convincing people. It is about having their grubby corrupt mitts on the levers of power and making sure that they can steal this thing. Just a little reminder, don't want you to forget about it for too long before the next election.
It's an interesting moment though, because it really is the rubber hitting the road when it comes to like a belligerent ethno-nationalist autocratic regime, the likes of which most of the right lauds and adores. And up until this invasion openly said it, you know, you've got Pompeo calling Putin an elegant statesman and crap like that. And now, and not just in the United States, but throughout Europe, all of the right-wing movements that Putin has actually funded, is allied with, those movements are now like, ooh, this is a bad look for us. Like, what do we do? They're between a rock and a hard place, because actually, this is the natural progression of a fascist ideology: is you go in, you take whatever you want, whenever you want. Trump's version. Yeah. Of sort of clownish isolationism may sound appealing to those of us who are tired of the United States getting involved in wars abroad. But understand that when it comes to Putin or Kim Jong-un or Bolsonaro or, you know, like the Golden Dawn or, you know, right-wing parties in France, you know, Marie Le Pen or Duterte of Philippines, what they want is just fiefdoms of power and imperialism. Yeah. Well, what happens when you all have fiefdoms? Well, eventually they're all gonna fight each other. So the dumb idea that we can just have strongman running stuff and just like having their spheres of influence who are never gonna get in each other's way, lol, as if that could even be an idea. He is so non-serious about this. And I think we really have a moment to understand, what do we want the United States' role in the world to be? Truly, do we have a role to play? And what is that role? And how can we think of it from a progressive standpoint?
I knew Putin very well. Got a lot of great charm and a lot of pride. Putin declares a big portion of the Ukraine as independent. And I said, this is genius. And he's going to go in and be a peacekeeper. There were more army tanks than I've ever seen. They're going to keep peace all right. You got to say, that's pretty savvy. I knew that he always wanted Ukraine. I used to talk to him about it.
I mean, what he's done for Russia is really amazing. And he's done it by outsmarting our country at every single step.
The day after the Olympics, he starts with Ukraine. The day after. How smart? How smart? How smart?
Okay, so that's an ad from the Republican Accountability Project, taking just his statements and laying them out there. It's going to be running, by the way, on Tucker Carlson's show this week.
Ooh.
Newsmax said no, because again, they hate media acting as propaganda. But if there's an ad that criticizes their dear leader, they simply will not allow it. They will cancel that ad. In any event, Francesca, hopefully, they're gonna suffer so much in terms of people being horrified by what's happening in Ukraine and realizing this weird thing with the right where they love strongmen, they love dictators, in particular Trump loves Putin. That's horrifying. That is actually something that cannot be sustained. That is my hope. So I am hoping that ads like that, we're already starting to see on the right them scrambling to change their tune a little bit. I hope that we come out of this with them being a little bit less feeling free to like cozy up to dictators and expect that voters are going to be okay with that, because it's no longer a hypothetical threat. People are seeing every day where that leads.
Yeah, and it is interesting, because the only other avenue when you're a right wing fear-mongering grifter is to go full throttle into war. You know, they're now bouncing back into, this is happening because Biden is weak. So say it. What do you want? You want a no-fly zone? You want to create a nuclear holocaust? Just openly say that, right? So we may regret, you know, like having them sort of slide into the other extreme of right-wing ideology, but they are so locked in. And one thing that is interesting is that even the base and a lot of people who watch are for no matter depend. I mean, I'm not sure what the impetus is, whether it's good or bad, whether it's xenophobic or not. But they're largely isolationists. They don't want boots on the ground in another country. And we can thank 8 years of Bush and 3+ wars or 2+ wars for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I keep not only waiting to see what right-wing media and the politicians are gonna say, and they definitely are, they're communicating a little bit different following the invasion. They clearly thought that no, everyone is gonna be okay with this if it happens. We've been greased in the path, we've been getting people to feel comfortable, it's not that bad. Why would you side with Ukraine? Well, no, that didn't work. Like maybe for once, their effort to set the narrative didn't work, because people are horrified by this. They don't want to see it. Now, hopefully that's durable, that's lingering. They'll be a little bit more cautious of the pro-Putin or generalized pro-dictator stuff in the future, but also maybe a little bit more resistant to calls to make America a little bit more like some of these regimes, cracking down on the LGBTQ community, political dissidents, and that sort of thing. What Putin might do internationally, but how he runs his country, and it ain't right. So we'll see.
It's a warning shot for when the left and the right decide that they do want a hot war with China. Let's just be real. That's like one thing that both agree on. Anywho, on that fun note,
Yeah, on that fun note, we're going to end the hour hoping to avoid that. But, you know, Trump will be president again, and that'll bring us marginally closer to an active war with China. That'll be fun. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us for our first hour. There's way more to get to, so don't go anywhere. Francesca and I will be back in just a little bit on Twitch and YouTube. Hope to see you there.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.